on a small boat, that you've been sailing all night, that you've made it through a horrific storm. You're sailing to a place that you wouldn't want to go. The people there are different than you. You're not only crossing the sea, but you're also crossing boundaries, but you're not in charge. You get there, and you slowly get out of the boat and make your way onto the shore, and you realize that on this hillside, this is where these people bury their dead. You can see tombs carved out of the side of the hill. And then all of a sudden, you see a figure coming out of one of these tombs. You can't quite make it out, but you can hear the screams and the moans before you can decipher that it's actually a person. And as these screams and moans get louder and louder, you realize that this person is coming towards you. It's getting closer and closer. The screams are getting louder. And then you realize that the brown color that you see on them is not actually clothes, but it's actually dirt on their naked body. And they're getting closer. They're approaching you with their screams and their moans. What would you do? Well, I don't know about you, but I would get back in the boat and I would row as far away as I possibly could. This sounds like a scene out of a horror movie. It never turns out the way that we think it should, does it? The people don't actually go. They stay right where they are. And that scary, monstrous thing continues to come towards them. And sometimes they even decide in movies to run towards it or move towards this thing that's coming on them. I never understand why they do that. But this is not a horror movie. This is not a fiction story. This is a true story found in the Bible in Luke chapter 8. Luke recounts this event right after the story of Jesus calming the storm. Jesus got out of the boat and he stood there. The man was coming towards him and he didn't flinch. He didn't move at all. He stayed right where he was. He didn't head back to the boat. He didn't tell everyone to start paddling away. He stayed right there. But this was a crazy man. He was out of his mind. He lived and wandered among the tombs of the dead, something that was appalling to Jews. They would consider this man ceremonially unclean. And besides that, he was a Gentile. How do we know that? Well, it tells us in the story that there was a herd of pigs nearby on the hillside. Only Gentiles would have kept pigs. Jews would have considered them unclean as well. But Jesus is there with his disciples. They've sailed there for a purpose. This wasn't an accident that they were arriving here. The point was they were there for this man, for this crazy, deranged, out-of-his-mind man. The Bible tells us that this naked man even cut himself with stones. He had to be shackled by his hands and his feet, and he had broken them when this had happened, when they had placed them on him. The Bible says that this man was so strong that no one could subdue him. Why would Jesus want to meet this man? What hope is there for a man like this? Well, the truth is, there is always hope for us. Our God provides that for us constantly, and Jesus was there at his Father's bidding to meet this very man, this crazy, self-destructive, out-of-his-mind man. The Bible tells us, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." Already from a distance, this man knew who Jesus was. But how could that be? He wouldn't have ever met him before. The man wouldn't even have heard about Jesus yet. But somehow he knew who he was. The only way that this man could know who Jesus was that he was demon-possessed. There were evil spirits that were tormenting him. And these spirits were well aware of who Jesus was, and they even knew the power that Jesus had, and they knew that they would have to obey him. When they met, the man got to Jesus. Jesus looked at him, and he asked him, "What is your name?" The response was legion. Now, was this the man talking or was this the demon inside of him? The man may not have known where his identity ended and where the possession of the demons began. He had been robbed of his true identity. Now, Legion, that seems like a really strange name, even for a demon, doesn't it? I mean, I can see hatred, envy, greed, lust, something like that, but Legion doesn't seem like a normal term that you would give to a demon. But a legion was a term used by the Roman army in order to organize their men. A legion was a group of soldiers made up of 2,000 to maybe 6,000 soldiers. We don't know for sure how many demons were possessing this man, but fair enough to say that there were a lot of them. This would explain his super strength and the fact that no one could even subdue him. Well, the demons knew that they were in trouble now that Jesus was there. They went on begging Jesus not to send them into the abyss. There was a large herd of pigs, as I said, nearby, and Jesus gave them permission to go into these pigs. The Bible says, when the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the bank into the lake and was drowned. So what is the point of this very strange story? The story is found twice in the Bible, in Luke and in Mark. Well, the story clearly shows that Jesus is who he said he was. He has the power to heal, the power to calm storms, the power to overcome everything, including demons. But why this man? Why did they sail across the Sea of Galilee for this one crazy, out-of-his-mind, demon-possessed man? The answer is simple. Everyone matters to God. You matter to God. And I think one of the points of this story is found in the very question that Jesus asks the man, "What is your name?" The man didn't know who he was anymore. His identity had been stripped away from him. The demons had taken everything. He had a false sense of who he was. And this may even have been compounded by the townspeople who had tried to chain him up and had sent him out of the town. He had lost his identity. He was completely consumed by everything around him and didn't know who he was. But can any of us truly know who we really are if we don't know Jesus? Jesus is the one who shows us who we really are. He gives us meaning and purpose. He gives us focus to our life. If you've never experienced this kind of thing or asked Jesus to come into your life, then I want you to think about that today as I continue to speak. And at the end, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray with me to make Jesus Lord of your life so that you can hear him speak clearly to you who you are. But even for those of us who are Christians, we can have trouble with our identity sometimes, can't we? We can wonder who we really are, or we can disbelieve the things that other people say about us. How does this happen? The circumstances and experiences of our life affect each of us differently, beginning in our early childhood. Satan loves to latch onto these experiences and these circumstances and situations, especially the ones that are negative in our life. The things that happen that maybe someone says are our fault. Maybe there are things that are spoken to us that are negative, that cause us to think we are not who we were created to be. The first time we accept the lie, we open the door for Satan to come in and continue lying to us. We start to believe that that others might have spoken things in anger to us, and they might be true. They can even be seemingly innocent things spoken to us in our childhood. Maybe a parent said to you, "Oh, honey, you're never going to be good at math, but I'm sure there's something you're good at. We'll help you figure that out." Now, that's a fairly innocent statement, isn't it? If you're having trouble with math and your parent wants you to feel like there's something you'll be good at, but maybe it's not this. But the enemy takes hold of that. He takes hold of that and starts to convince you that you're not bright, that you will never be smart, and there's actually nothing you will ever be good at. And when you take that in and you start to believe it, then he has access to speak more and more lies to you. He can start to convince you other things about yourself that aren't true as well. But every day you listen to those same things over and over again, and you begin to believe that they are totally true about you. This is who you are. There is nothing anyone can do to change it. You're just stuck in this place with this being who you are. And you may even believe that God, he created you this way. And maybe you start to even believe that he can't love you. It's all a mistake. He doesn't really love you. He loves everyone else, but somehow you're the unlucky one who just got left out in the process of this, that he's forgotten all about you. But this story of the demon-possessed man makes all of those lies completely untrue. Here was a man who was in a bad shape. The lies were filling his head. They were immense. He had completely given himself over to them. Maybe some of them were that he was unlovable, that he didn't deserve to be cared for, that he wasn't worth anything and should be just dead. That would explain why he was living among the tombs. He was completely consumed by these lies. And what does the Son of God do? He sails across the sea for no other purpose than to meet this man and to heal him and to restore his life and his identity to him. We know that Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. God must have told him to sail with his disciples to Gerasim. He would also have known what he was there for, to meet this man. You see, God sees every one of us, including those of us who are overrun with lies by the enemy and are lost, not knowing who we really are. And his desire is that we would come to him and ask him who he sees us as, who he created us to be, who we really are. You know, he always has a different answer than the lie that we believe about ourselves. He has an answer that's completely true, even if we don't believe it. Whatever negative word we may have spoken over ourselves or other people may have spoken over us, well, he has a different word. And this word is one that's positive, that's uplifting and completely true about you. You are seen and you are known and you are loved by God. Hear me, he sees you. And he knows you, and he knows your complete identity. He knows who you were created to be. He knows your true name. Well, I want to introduce you to someone today who's experienced some of these things that we've been talking about. I want to introduce you to Nathan Kinney. Give him a shout out in the comments or a wave there. Hey, Nathan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Well, why don't you start by just telling us briefly a bit about your life growing up?
Yeah, so I grew up, and I like to say I was saturated by all things Christianity. I've been attending FAC for my entire life. I went to a Christian school growing up, and on top of that, I've had an amazing family, and all the way from my grandparents to uncles and aunts, cousins, everything in between, my parents. And I think with all these things, I think people would think I have a great setup to have a great childhood and everything like that. But for me, it didn't work out that way. And I think I felt a lot of pressure and heavy expectations on my life to do all the things that everyone was preaching at me and telling me to do. And so I really kind of was striving to do what other people wanted me to do. And I think I got distracted, and I never really built a firm foundation in Jesus. I never truly got to know him growing up.
So what did you start to believe about yourself?
Yeah, because of the faulty foundation, I have a couple of events in my life that caused me to believe some lies about myself. And the first one that I can really think of was in grade 8. And in grade 8, I was bullied by a lot of my closest friends. A lot of kids who I called my best friends growing up ended up abandoning me and making fun of me. And so it was at this time I started to believe that Maybe no one truly loves me. Maybe I don't belong. Nobody loves me. And I thought maybe who God created me to be wasn't actually enough. And another scenario where I started to believe more lies and compound those lies was on my baseball team in high school. And I played baseball for a long time with a lot of the same kids for almost 10 years. So a lot of them knew I was a Christian, if not the whole team. And and so I got kind of harassed for my belief and for my faith in Jesus. And this was really hard for me because I really did love all these teammates and all the players on my team. And so, again, I felt I don't belong. There's nothing I can do to be truly wanted or enough or loved.
Well, what did these faulty beliefs lead you into?
Yeah, because I started believing these lies and I really wanted to fit in, I resorted to watching pornography to try to fit in with all these people.
Hmm. Did that meet your needs?
Yeah, when I first started watching pornography, I thought it was the answer. It was gonna meet my needs. It was gonna help me to fit in. It was maybe gonna give me some sort of an identity. But in fact, it did the complete opposite. And so, whenever I watched pornography, I felt empty. I felt defeated, and I felt alone and ashamed. And I didn't know whether my family or my teammates or anyone else or even God would be able to love me again. And so because I was trapped in fear and I was trapped in shame and I was spiraling towards periods of loneliness and sadness, it brought me to a state of almost hopelessness. I didn't think that I was anything. I didn't think that I was worth anything. I didn't think I was worthy of redemption. And so I felt hopeless. So ultimately, it just tore my identity down.
Hmm. How did things begin to change for you?
Yeah, things really began to change for me after high school. And God led me to take a year off in between university and to go to Australia with this program called YWAM, which stands for Youth with a Mission. And so there they do 3 months of really just knowing God and 3 months of making him known. And I had many life-changing encounters with Jesus in Australia. But one of them that I would love to share for you is I had a time where we talked about repentance and forgiveness. And after this week, I just felt compelled to gather some of my leaders. And I took the time to verbally confess to them about watching pornography. And then they prayed over me. And I also prayed to God that I wanted to repent. I wanted to turn my life around. And as they were praying over me, I just, for the first time in my life, I think I genuinely felt God's love just over me, just so tangibly. And it was just not a love about anything I've done, but it was truly just God loving me because of who I am, because of who he made me to be. And I think on top of that, things really, I mean, it's cool how your journey is never ending. And a few months ago, I was taking this online course through Ambrose University. And in this course, we were taking time to seek out Jesus and to seek out his healing, maybe in memories or in places in our lives where we kind of had deep soul wounds, where we have believed lies about ourselves. And so I was split off into a group with a couple of my peers and with a leader. And the leader, she just started praying over me and just encouraged me to seek Jesus, just show him. And she just asked me to just go in my mind where Jesus was pointing me. And so Jesus brought me back to a memory in grade 8 where I was being bullied. And I never thought too much about my experience of being bullied in grade 8, but clearly it had great effects on me. And Jesus really wanted to heal it that day. And so I remember Jesus taking me back to a very specific memory where some of my friends were, they were abandoning me. And it was at this time where I turn around and I see Jesus standing there, just his face filled with love and compassion for me. And I went towards Jesus, and I remember kind of believing these lies that I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, I'm not wanted. And as Jesus and I were embracing, he was speaking to me the opposite of these lies. He was breaking off these lies and filling it with the truth that he loves me, he values me, he thinks I'm so worthy. And so it was that day, just in my memory, through prayer with this leader, that so many lies were broken off over my identity, and I was able to experience so much freedom through Jesus.
That's awesome. So who does God say you are today? What has he helped you to understand about yourself through these processes?
Yeah, I think I'm learning a lot, so much every day, but I think recently I've been learning that in the presence of Jesus, all pressure of who I'm supposed to be just crumbles at the feet of Jesus. And all the things that I have done and all the things that I will do can never separate me from the love of God and can never change my identity. And so upon reflection, I realized when I went to Australia, I had a distorted picture of God, one who criticized me if I didn't do the right things. But I left Australia, and I realized that God loved me just because of who I am, for being my true self. I don't have to be who other people want me to be, but if I'm who I am in God's eyes, that's more than enough. And so I think I can say, who am I now? What is my identity now? I'm definitely someone who's not super outgoing, loud, the crazy guy in the group, but I'm soft-spoken, I'm compassionate, I'm someone who's quick to listen, and I'm someone who really looks out for the one who is kind of pushed off to the side. And I think Jesus has done that because that's something that I experienced myself. But I think on top of all of that, I think the most important things about who I am is Jesus has spoken to me, and I know this, is that I am so loved, I'm so wanted, valuable, I'm fully redeemed and set free and worthy. And so I just love how Jesus has spoken me to that. And don't get me wrong, there's not days where I don't question my identity. There's not days where the enemy tries to throw these lies at me again. But I always know that I can go to Jesus and I can just go to his presence, and I'm so sure of my identity when I'm with him.
That's amazing. Thanks so much for sharing that with us today. And I want you to know I was praying for you this week too, and I asked God if he had wanted to speak anything to me about your identity. And he gave me this word. The word was exceeding. And he said to me, Nathan can't exceed my expectations because I already know who he is, but Nathan is one who will exceed other people's expectations, that you'll be one who constantly exceeds what other people think of you. So bless you. Live that out. And thanks for sharing with us today.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
You know, Nathan grew up in a Christian home. He had every opportunity to understand who he was as a child of God, and yet the enemy somehow gained access to convince him of something else. Those little lies, those deceptions that Satan and his demons whispered into Nathan's ears began to convince him of something different, that he was someone who he didn't think he was, who God didn't think that he was. But when Nathan finally took a step toward Jesus to discover the truth, Jesus was right there waiting for him. He was right there waiting to show him and tell him who he really was and who he saw him as. And maybe this is you today. Maybe your story is a bit different than Nathan's. Maybe the lies you're believing are a bit different. But ultimately, the outcome is the same. You begin to believe that you are broken, that you're beyond hope, that you are unlovable, and maybe not the person that you thought you'd grow up to be. Maybe you feel that you are someone who's negative or forgotten or alone. Maybe you feel abandoned and that there is no one around you who will speak positive things into you. Maybe there's no positive future for you. if this is you, then the enemy and his legion have found a way in to speak lies to you, to make you believe things that just aren't true. But you maybe still believe that. Maybe you believe that they are real. Maybe you just don't talk about it much these days with other people. But here's the thing. These lies only have as much power as you give them. You see, Satan and his demons really don't have power over you if you are a Christ follower. They may seem scary and creepy like they are in this story, like something out of a horror movie, but the truth is, as a Christ follower, you have control over them. Jesus gives you that. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he gives you the authority over them as well. And you can silence them. You can silence those voices in your head. And you can cast those demons to the feet of Jesus for him to deal with them. You know, the demons that Jesus confronts in the Bible have three things in common. The first is that they cause self-destructive behavior in their victims. The second is that they leave their victim feeling trapped in their current situation, like there's no way out. And the third is that they separate their victim from the living, from their family or community. They isolate them so the only voice they hear is that of the demons. And these demons, they prevented this man from getting to know who he really was. And they prevent us from getting to know who God intended us to be. This was the demon-possessed man. He was completely cut off. He was isolated. He was trapped in his situation. He had destructive tendencies. He was cutting himself. He needed Jesus to save him. And maybe you're thinking, well, my situation's not that bad. It's a small thing for me, and I'm handling it. Well, my response to you is, great. I'm glad that that's happening for you, but isn't it hard having to handle that day after day after day? Isn't it hard having to manage it? Wouldn't you rather have Jesus come in and just deal with it like he did with the demon-possessed man and save you and heal you from it just like that? And maybe you've decided, well, if only I surround myself with positive people. Positive people are the way to go. They'll speak positive things to me, and I will be just fine. And again, I say, great. But what happens when those people aren't around? What happens when you're all by yourself, and those other voices start talking again and convincing you of something different? And honestly, we all struggle to hear the truth from other people, don't we? We struggle to hear the positive things that other people say about us. We can only hear those things from Jesus. He's the only one that makes them stick. They get deep down inside of us. Like Nathan experienced, when Jesus shows up and shows us and speaks it into us, it stays there. And you need to hear from him. And maybe you're thinking, well, I hear you, but man, I'm so far gone. I'm so far down that opposite pathway that Jesus isn't going to speak to me anything good. There's nothing good that I'm going to hear from him. Well, that's just not true. It's not true at all. The truth is, no one is outside of God's reach. If Jesus can sail across the sea, sleep through a storm that could have capsized his boat and killed everyone on it to reach a man who was completely different than his chosen people, then you, my friend, are not too far out of his way, and he can get to you too. He's just waiting to reach out to you. You see, our identity issues, the demons in our life, cause us to hide and to isolate and to stay away from other people who are positive. But God sees you. You cannot hide from him. He's just waiting for you to come and ask him, who do you say I am? What is my true God-given identity? This is the same God those demons knew and had to obey. This is the same God who Jacob, who was called a trickster and a schemer by his family, was given the name Israel and became a founder of a nation. This is the same God who took a fisherman named Simon, who had a curse mouth, and gave him the name Simon Peter and told him that he would be a mighty preacher. This is the same God who met Saul, a man who was persecuting Jesus' followers, and changed his name to Paul and set him on a journey as a missionary to tell others all about Jesus. He is the same God who wants to share your identity with you. Maybe, as I said earlier, you've never taken that first step to ask Jesus into your life. Well, I'm going to pray in a moment, and I want to invite you to pray these things along with me and make Jesus the Lord of your life. And I know that there are some of you who are already Christians, but you're struggling in some of the ways that I've mentioned today. And I want to encourage you to continue to reach out to him. Spend time with him daily. Ask him who you really are. Remember, Jesus is a gentleman. He's not going to condemn you or say negative things about you. So listen to that quieter, gentler, positive voice. Let's pray together today. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are so amazing. The fact that nothing we do or say escapes you, that you keep your eye firmly focused on us. Jesus, we need you to speak truth into our lives. We need you to speak our identity into us. And Father, there are some of us who have never accepted your Son, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. So today we say, Jesus, we admit that we have done wrong things in our lives, that we have given the enemy access to places that we shouldn't have, that we've believed lies about ourselves. But Jesus, we believe that you are the Son of God, that you have the power from your Father to overcome anything, including the demons that want to torment us and make us believe things that aren't true. And today we choose to follow you. We choose to make you Lord of our lives. We choose to listen to what you have to say to us. Father, we ask those of us who have been Christians for a long time that have opened that door, even a crack for the enemy to come in, we ask that you would come and speak truth into us and help us close it, that the enemy would be silenced in our presence, that he would no longer speak lies to us and torture us into believing things that just aren't true. We come to you to speak our true identity into us. And Jesus, we know we can count on you to do this. Your word says so, that you could sail across the sea to a man that you didn't know you, who didn't follow you, and restore everything back to him is our hope in you. We thank you for this in your name, Jesus. We pray. Amen. Our identity is so important for us to fully grasp in order to be who God created us to be. And maybe you feel stuck in asking God about this. Maybe you feel like you're not actually hearing from him at all. Well, this fall, we'll begin a new ministry here at FAC called Sozo. And this word is found in the Bible. It's a Greek word, and it means healed, saved, and delivered. And in this ministry, we're going to help you to hear from God. We're going to help you to ask the right questions and to listen and let him answer them for you, to restore things back to you, to heal you and make you whole. So stay tuned for more information about that coming in September. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're looking to seal in that identity. And one of the ways that you can do that, as Pastor Corey mentioned, was to become baptized. So this Sunday, August the 23rd at 2 p.m., you can join us right here on the Deerfoot campus. And you can take that next step. Just bring a bathing suit and a towel, a chair for you to sit in, bring a mask, and bring a family member or a cohort friend who can actually submerge you when you take the step of baptism. Our pastors are going to be there to lead you through it. But this, as you go under the water, will help cement a little bit more of your identity. So what are you waiting for? Why not take that next step? And as the worship team comes up to sing today, I want you to know that I've been praying for you this week too, and I've been asking God for words for you, and I'm going to share them. after this song. But as they sing, take some time and ask God yourself, who do you say I am? As I said, as I was praying this week, God gave me these things to share for some of you. So I encourage you to listen. And if these words resonate, if these are words or lies that you've told yourself, listen to what God has to say to you. He says, you may call yourself broken or fractured, but I call you complete. You may think that you are unsatisfied, but I call you full. You are not tarnished. God says that he is piecing you back together, and he calls you polished. You are not worthless. You are a precious jewel to him. And you may call yourself garbage, but God says, I call you my prized possession. And you may think of yourself as dirty, but God says, to me, you are a beautiful white stallion. And finally, he said to me, for everyone, whatever name you have given yourself or others have given you, they're irrelevant. You are my child. Come home to me. And remember, in 1 John 3:1, it says this, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it did not know him either. So the world may not know you, but your God does. Bless you this week.